I don't want to sit in here with a bunch of married couples on a dark and Valentine's Day. It's a little too weird for me. Okay. I'll say it just makes it a lot easier for you to listen if you can see me. I had a great time. Organized the socks in my duffel bag several times. Realizing it's Valentine's Day makes me just think about, I got a Valentine of 19 years at home, and I just appreciate so much all the things that we've walked through and the things that God has yet to take us through together. And it is a great privilege that God gives us in marriage. Maybe just a little bit of a review on where we began last night. We talked about our framework, how we can know for sure, or really not the framework. We talked about what we build the foundation with. And that is the fact that God has designed marriage, that you and I are walking through an adventure that somebody else has designed. Therefore, we must know how it's been designed if we're going to make it from early stage of our life to the very end of our life and have it work all the way through. Do you realize marriage is about the most complex thing you're ever going to be asked to do? To walk through marriage and all that goes with it, a family and all the different stages of life. And yet, we treat it so casually. I think men, you know, can really miss that. And maybe women can too, but you know, some things men do are easy, like designing rockets or airplanes or things like that. I mean, anybody can do that. You go to college for 5 years or you learn how to do math and you can go design a rocket. All over the world, men are out there successfully going to work, designing things, doing things, building things, accomplishing things. And yet, it would be a very small room of men that are successfully living their life with their wife and their family. It's way more challenging, way more difficult. It's way harder. Life is the most complicated thing you're ever going to do. And marriage and family is probably the most complicated thing in life. So we're not dumb to be here going, God, what are the parameters here? What is the schematic for this? We have to listen to God and how He's revealed that to us. Where we start building. Then we go to our foundation. And the foundation is that God desires successful marriage relationships. Therefore, He makes a promise to us that when we come together, God Himself stamps that marriage. Can you successfully have a relationship with the person you're sitting beside? There'll be some days when you look at them and you go, oh man, this is easy. Some days you'll look at them and you go, I don't know if we can do it. But when you look up and you look at God, God says, I'm promising you something. I can get you through this. I promise you. And my glory hangs on the success of your marriage. And if you can't stand or sit on that porch swing at the end of your life and tell everybody that walks up to you, trust God. He is faithful. He will get you through. Do you see how God loses something? God's glory hangs on your success. As you walk with Him, and as you can say, trust God because He's faithful. That's our foundation. So who's my lifetime partner? Well, it's Carol Knox Meyer. And God has plans so that I'm going to help her grow. And she's going to help me grow. And as we walk through that, it's going to be an amazing future that's ahead of us. And every single one of you, as you look at God, you have that promise. That's where faith comes in. Remember, we're going to trust God more than any other source of information. And it was good getting you guys the surveys last night. One of the hard things about being a conference speaker is that you walk in and you go, I don't even know who I'm talking to here. So that helped a little bit. And there's some of you guys that are having the time of your life. or else you lie a lot when you write surveys. And there's some of you guys that aren't. And I guess that should be what would be expected. But I just want to tell you that honestly, it is so interesting. We have such a different outward view of marriage. And for most people, from the first day of their honeymoon, a huge amount of stress begins to come into their marriage. One form or fashion or another. And yet, I can say the richest, the most satisfying, the thing I enjoy the most about my life, well, it'd be hard with my kids, you know, either my kids or my marriage, for sure. But I love my wife. And not that we've had everything go well, but there's something that accumulates as you make that investment. And, you know, for those of you that have been married before, I just want to affirm, God wants to bless you where you're at right now. But you would testify, I think, that there is a greater challenge even in starting over and saying, okay, well, now I have to start this again. And I want to let you know that just like for everybody in your situation, marriage is a faith thing. And God is pleased with love and commitment and faithfulness. And God calls you to display that right where you're at and to begin building that investment right there, or however long you've been married, right where you're at. So we're going to talk about more things today that take faith. And we're going to talk about more things today that are controversial. We're going to talk about roles in marriage and gender identity things. And again, even 10 years ago, I think I was talking about marriage 10 years ago. This was just a marriage topic. That's all it related to, is just marriage. Today, you and I have this question related to gender identity or roles come at us from places way outside our marriage, and that's going to happen more and more and more. That's one of the reasons I want to talk about the book of Genesis, because you can decide you want to think these things, whether there's any real foundation or not, for your own personal life. But you're going to be asked to put your thoughts in this in the context of the world beyond your marriage. And it will be important, at least in your own heart, to feel like there are some things that are clear and settled for you. And that's why we have to lay that foundation. God has communicated. God, the Creator, the guy that we're all going to stand in front of. Every one of us is headed for a day. Every human being that has ever lived is going to discover, whether they ever knew that before or not, that they were made by someone for a purpose. And it wasn't their purpose, it was His. And every person will stand before God and give an account for that. Every person. There are things in marriage. You might think, I don't really want that to be part of my marriage. You know what? You're going to stand and give an account of whether or not it was there or not, because it's not your thing. This is not your thing. See, that's our culture's idea. Well, this is my thing. This is my body. This is my whatever. My money. My life. Well, you know what? It's not your money. It's not your body. And it's not your life. Do you know that? One day you will. That's what we believe, right? Now, God grants us a freedom, and He grants us a life that we can walk and live out however we want. But He also says, you know what? At the end, you're going to stand and you're going to tell me how it went, based on what was supposed to happen. Of course, in Christ, there's grace and forgiveness. But nonetheless, there's a course. There's a narrow road. There's a narrow road. And in that narrow road, life works. So that's the challenge, is to find the narrow road with marriage. So let's pray, and let's look at the next subject that God tells us about marriage. Well, Lord, I pray that You would just help us. Let's track with Your thoughts. Help us to apply faith to them. Help us to see the big picture, and then help us to see the practical, where it comes right down in our living room or our kitchen or our bedroom or wherever it is, Lord. And help us to see that really all of these things are something we walk through with You. Truly, marriage is a love triangle. You have got to be there. Because we can't respond rightly to our mate all the time. We have to respond rightly to you. Take your place, Lord, and make us responders to you. In those times where that's what needs to happen. So let's I'll turn to the appropriate page here. God created the marriage relationship. God created the marriage relationship to be a role relationship. So, what does that mean? Okay, again, let's just go back a little bit here to some basic things we know. We know men and women are really different. We know that in continual ways, science is discovering that the male and the female are different in almost every area you can study it. They are different in how their brains work. They are different in their emotions. They are different physically. They are different in the whole reproductive process. God has made men and women very different. I think one of the things that I always remember is how from the very early, I think it's even the early weeks of a young male's life, the testosterone flows into the male's brain and destroys the connection between the left brain and the right brain. So for men, their brains are not connected. Some of you already knew that, especially after you got married. How we look at one another, and even if we say, you know, we should be just the same, I'm sorry, we can't be. We are put in a realm where there are going to be differences we cannot get around. And so when we get married, often with young couples, I'll get together with them for marriage counseling and or pre-marriage counseling, and I'll tell them, you know what, you're going to discover your wife's really different. And they kind of, you know, look at me and go, oh, I know women are really different. And after they get married, they go, man, I cannot figure this out. Because men and women are different. Okay. Marriage relationship is God's earthly picture of the triune God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Right here it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Well, we could go really deep in the theology stuff here, but we're not going to do that. But it is important to understand, here's where we get our first definition of what it means to be human. You and I are made in the image of God, it tells us. Okay, this is going to have implications way beyond our own personal marriage again. And how did God make human beings? He says, I'm going to make them in whose image? This is wild here. Our image. Our. From one of the very earliest communications of God about himself, he tells us he is plural. He tells us that there is more than one going on here. Wow. Well, one of the basic tenets of the Bible, one of the absolute bedrocks, is that God is one. So God, why are you telling us right here in the beginning, let us make man? And so he made man in God's image. And how did he make him? He made him male and female. This is all we're going to take away from this. God exists in relationship. And in the fullness of what he is, he put part of what he is in the feminine, in the woman. And he put a dimension of what he is in the masculine, in the man. And when the man, the masculine and the feminine come together in relationship, is the fullness of the picture of God. And how we see that played out as we get to the New Testament is in the Gospels. Jesus was God, and the Father is God. And as we look at Jesus' relationship, and we follow him through his life, and we look at the statements he made it very clear. He was living his entire life in submission to the Father. And the Father, as we look at what's written there, is taking full responsibility for the Son. Here's the deal. As you think this through, the conclusion you come to is what's being communicated here is that within God himself is the fullness of relationship. And that is expressed. What is all the dimensions of relationship that can exist? They're found in two positions where one is responsible for and one is responsible to. One entrusts himself to, and one takes full love, care, and responsibility for. And within God himself is the fullness and all the beauty of relationship. That's why God doesn't need you and me. He doesn't need you and me to be loving. That's why God has to be plural. Otherwise, God wouldn't need us, or he couldn't love. The fullness of love, the fullness of trust and faith and care and responsibility is all right there in God. And then he says, and we're going to make man in our own image. Now we're going to make man. We're going to make him male and female. And where did the female come from? She came out from the man. She was him. In one sense, who was born first, Adam or Eve? We can't even tell. They were one. I mean, she came out of his rib, and so she's as old as he is because she's the same as him, and it's all one. And they're in relationship. But when Eve showed up in the garden, was she thinking, well, let's see. It looks like you're going to build over there. I'll build over here. We'll both have our houses here. We'll put the street down the middle, and you can live on that side. No, she would have known, well, wait a minute. I am here to help you in what God's given you. It was a role relationship, and he was responsible for it. That's what he thought. Listen, you're bone of my bones. You are flesh of my flesh. What was he saying? I am going to take care of you. I'm going to be responsible for you. And she knew that she was his perfect helpmate. She was going to entrust herself to his care. Now, there's another thing God tells us about this whole marriage thing. It's in Ephesians 5. And this is the marriage relationship is God's earthly picture of Jesus' relationship with his church. It's what we're told. And here's part of what's written there. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. It says, as the church submits to Christ. So that is the picture God is mapping over. And then he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, and he goes back to Genesis. Be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And so, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to learn about marriage by looking at our own relationship, your relationship with your Savior. What is your relationship with your Savior supposed to be like? Well, you're supposed to trust him. You're supposed to entrust yourself to him. And God says, I'm going to make a picture of that on the earth, and the picture I'm going to make is marriage. What's Jesus' responsibility for us? It's everything. God grants us grace for all things. He takes total responsibility for us. So God says, I'm going to give you a picture on earth of an eternal reality. And marriage is a picture two ways. It's a picture of the Godhead, and it's a picture of our relationship with him. Your marriage was created to be a picture of God himself. Jesus and the Father, and the church and her Savior. That's what it is. Wow. Well, if that's true, then these roles are really there. Then there's a calling for you as husbands, and there's a calling for you as wives to try to move your lives in a way where these two different roles can come together. And when they do, there is a resonance with the Father and the Son. There's this incredible resonance of absolute love and absolute care. And it's the same with Jesus and the church. When we all experience that, I trust, if you know Christ, and you yield your heart and your spirit to Christ, and you come under his authority, and there's the fullness of the Spirit that fills you, and you go, wow, this is what life's all about. Life is good. Guess what? You, believe it or not, have the assignment to pursue that picture with your spouse. Oh, my goodness. Now, depending on your background, maybe previous marriages, maybe current hurts in your own marriage right now, you may have a totally different interpretation of what this means. Your mom and dad might have been nowhere near this. Or maybe you grew up in a really traditional home. What you got to understand is there is a picture that you've never seen perfectly on this earth. It has never been modeled for you just right. And yet if you're going to be fulfilled and happy in your marriage, that's where you got to move toward. And that's where God's calling you, and that's where he'll bless you. And so we're going to try to look at some specific things related to that. To the feminine, and the feminine in relationship to the masculine expresses God's intended picture in marriage. And again, just one last kind of I guess, theological connect here. Do you know that I by myself am not the fullness of the image of God? And my wife by herself is not the fullness of the image of God. But when we come together in relationship in this way, the fullness of the picture of the image of God is on the earth. God's role for husbands is to express their masculinity in the realm of family by accepting headship for the wife and children. Now, that whole notion of being a head can contain all kinds of connotations that both men and women reel from. But we've got to put it in the context of how Jesus leads the church. To be a head is not to be in a dominating control. It's to be one who, for one thing, expresses unconditional love for another. Now, this is supposed to happen all over the place. God has created this all over. This is supposed to happen with parents and children. God has created this picture of responsible for and responsible to all over the creation. It's just that the most challenging and the closest to actually God that God's ever made it is with you and your wife. Wife, with you and your husband. Because that's one place where two people who basically are equal in every dimension of human personality come together and they're supposed to take a certain relationship with one another. With my sons, I'm supposed to be responsible for, but they're little. As a matter of fact, a couple of them are still little enough that I could grab them and toss them around. The others are getting big enough, and this is all is working out a little different. But I have way more experience in life. It's very clear I should be in charge. You know what, men? Half of you have wives that are smarter than you are. Half of you have wives that may be better leaders than you are. Half of you have women that are more decisive than you are. And God looks at you and he says, I want you to step into this role. You know what? That doesn't mean that you're more decisive. Doesn't mean that you're smarter. Doesn't mean that you're better at managing money. It doesn't mean any of that. All it means is God says, I choose you. I choose you. I want you to do this. And he looks at your wife. He says, this doesn't mean that you're not as smart as your husband. It doesn't mean you're not as decisive as your husband. As a matter of fact, part of your biggest part of your job is not to run the guy over. Because I've chosen you to do this. That's the picture I want to see when I look down. And God says, that's what I'll bless. So men, there's a call on your life to take the role of the Father, to take the role of Jesus in the church. And the first part of that is to express unconditional love for your wife. Jesus began his ministry with the full acceptance of the Father. Ah, I thought I had a verse here. Yes. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And Jesus hadn't done a thing yet. He hadn't done a thing. And the first thing the Father did was express his role in affirming the Son. And men, as this maps over into marriage, it is your place to take that point of blessing and for you to communicate to your wife love and acceptance, for her to come under your life in the way this is talking about. You must have the confidence and take the place of blessing. You must say, I'm going to step out of, well, it's just you and me here. And you have to step out of the empty and go, you know, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to love you. You are my wife. I draw the circle around you, and I love you. You have that spot in my heart. You have that spot in my life. Now, that is challenging because so much of us, actually, we can even have a sense of, well, that's not my place to step out and to walk in that role. But, men, you know what? It is. That's masculinity. That's manhood. And God calls you to grow in that. We have that same thing with God in us. says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Jesus' relationship to you as the church. There's no condemnation for you. None. Jesus says, listen, I am taking the role here of being the judge, and I'm making the choice not to judge you. There is no condemnation for you because of who you are to me. And your relationship with God, it's so important for you to understand that when God looks at you, there is no condemnation in His eyes. You know why? Because you are His bride. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. He might sit down and have a good long talk with you over coffee somewhere. But you know what? There is not. There is no condemnation. That's what Christianity is all about. There is no condemnation. That's the role. That's the way it is. And that's what we're supposed to extend to our wives. Can you do that, husbands? That is challenging, isn't it? Because we get all caught up in our own needs and our own stuff. And we think, well, you know, if you just did this, and we have all our expectations. And this is one of the things I do. I learned so much about my relationship with God because of my relationship with my wife, because I have tons of expectations of my wife. Honey, if you just did this, you could make me happy. If you just, you know, and we'll get to all the stuff you wives are supposed to do here in a minute. I'm an expert on that. And what God does is He says, okay, John, okay, let's just stop just right here. Now, do you do that for me? Do you pay attention to me? Do you respect me? Do you follow me? Are you even thinking about me? I go, well, no. Yeah, well, see, that's how I feel, says God. Do you know God has an emotional relationship with you? He created you to relate to you. And husbands, there's times where there's something you just want so much from your wife. Do you ever thought that God looks down at you and says, yeah? Why do you think I made you? You're off running off doing your own thing. Oh, my wife's just off doing her own thing. God looks down and goes, are you getting something here? Do you understand that need that you feel? That need that you feel in your heart? I put that there because I want you to understand what I want from you. Wow. That just humbles me like, oh, God. Lord, I do want to be closer to you. Men, you are called to do what Jesus does for you. He loves you. He accepts you. There is no condemnation for you. And you very seldom, by the way, you're the wife with God. You very seldom are the wife you should be. And we may get into this in the questions. I'm not going to get into it now. But there's questions even related. I'm sure a number of you here have an LDS background. Maybe some of you are still involved in that church. And there's a whole different idea about what eternity will be like than what's in that understanding than what's in the Bible. But you know what? According to the Bible, we're all going to heaven to be the wife. That's what it says. We will be the bride of Christ. And that's right where God wants our heart. Okay. You must take ownership of her needs as much as that which relates to your own body. And of course, that's what it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. It says, man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Quoted here again in Ephesians. And so God says He wants you to have a concern and a care for your wife. And so often what happens is men, we again, there's a right way to view our wives as equals, a very much right way. And then there's a way where that equality gives us a chance to not take responsibility. Well, hey, you're responsible for your own life, aren't you? I mean, we're both people here. And there's a part of that where God says, no, that's not the roles. I want you to care for your wife. I want you to feel a sense of responsibility for your wife. I want you to be so faithful, your wife can actually trust you. You know, one of the things that often happens is with a woman's schedule. Women, by their nature, they are more connected with people's feelings, with people's emotions, with genuine needs. That's why God, I think, says that a woman should be characterized by good deeds because she sees all these short-term needs. My wife would kill herself. And that, there's this cycle. She'll go out and she'll get involved in every single issue and then she'll melt down. And then she'll go, I can't do anything. And she'll go out and she'll involve every single need, and then she'll melt down. And what I've learned is, there's a role for me. I step in there and I go, wait a minute, you can't do that. Oh, but they need help so much. You know what? If you walk down that road, then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen. You know what? I want you to just stay right here. I want you to be right in this boundary. And my wife has a choice to go, okay. And I extend what I am naturally better at is looking long term and remembering what happened last time and all that stuff. And just going, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to play the role God wants me to play. And I'm going to draw a boundary around your life because in this you're safe. And I'm going to keep you safe by making a boundary for your life. Now, sometimes I'm not faithful enough. Sometimes Carol doesn't like to let me. Sometimes I don't want to engage in the argument with her that might come about because of that. But generally, we have moved that way and we have grown in that. And my wife has found a peace, and as I have become more faithful to really do that. And there's times where she said, John, you need to help me here. You've got to put some boundaries around my life. Well, some people would look at that and go, what is going on there? Don't you think a grown 40-some-year-old woman can figure out how to do her own schedule? But you know what? Don't you think Jesus could figure out how to run the world on his own? Is Jesus dumb? Or is that the whole thing? So I love my wife. And issues of health, helping her manage that. Carol would not take very good care of herself. I find I have to constantly figure out, how's life going with you? What's going on here? And to affirm her and to play that role. Honey, I'm going to take care of you. Just another issue can just be the whole area of value. One of the things my wife's really helped me understand, which we can miss, men, is I have a lot of places where I get feedback about my life out there in the world. I have a church with a lot of people in it. I have a lot of other relationships. And, of course, my wife has relationships outside the home. But she has chosen to put a lot of her life right in the home, which means I am the primary voice in how she's doing. I am the primary voice on her value as a person. Men, God has given a power to your voice. And we cannot feel confident in that. We can step away from that. But I'm telling you, you have been given the place to have a voice of blessing. And you need to accept that, to take that, to walk in that, to grow in that, to spend a lifetime pursuing that. With your kids, with your wife, there's a role for you to step into. Say, I will be this for you. I will bless. I'll affirm you. I'll praise you. I will care for you. Okay. You must accept responsibility before God to lead your wife and family into that which is God's plan for them. Okay. So, you don't lead them into your plan. Being the head, all being the head means, this is honestly what the Bible tells us, is that when I'm the head of my family, it doesn't mean that I get what I want. What it means is, at the end, God will hold me accountable for my household. And when I stand there and give an account, and God says, okay, John, I want you to explain to me about how life went in your household. And I raise my hand and say, well, can I please bring my wife in here? Because really, she's the one that knows about that. He'll say, I'm sorry. I have an appointment with your wife this afternoon, but this one's yours. I give this to you. This is your thing. Do you realize, men, you're going to be held accountable? Why should your wives submit to you? The only reason they should submit to you is because you've been given the responsibility. And men, by our nature, we avoid responsibilities in our homes. It's something in our fallen, broken nature. Men will take huge responsibility out there in the work world. Oh, give me more to do. And they go home and they don't want responsibility for anything. There's something broken there. I love that phrase, a man's home is his castle. Because men will defend their castle. Men, you need your head in your home. That's what you're going to live with. What do you think they're going to give you at work other than a pink slip maybe 5 years from now or whenever? Yours is your home. You're going to live with the fruit of your children. You're going to live with the fruit of your marriage. That's yours. Take it. Protect it. Own it in that good way, in that masculine way as a man. Own that more than you own your job. That's what you're going to get to live with. That's your heritage God gives you. And yet it's so hard. By our nature, men, we are passive in our homes. I think we can go clear back to the garden. And what do we see? So there's the story with the serpent. And there's the tree you're not supposed to eat any fruit from, right? And so Eve goes over and she eats the fruit. Why? Because she got deceived. She never heard God say, don't eat the fruit. She never heard that. She wasn't there. God never told her, don't eat the fruit. God told Adam. How did Adam know? How did Eve know? Adam told Eve. That must have been what happened. We don't even know if Adam got it right. Because Eve seemed to be confused when she was talking with a serpent. So, well, let's see. We're not supposed to eat it, but you say we can't eat it. Well, okay, so I'll eat it. She's deceived. She goes to Adam. Adam looks at his wife and she says, eat it. And Adam faces a huge, huge choice. Is he going to be proactive with what he knows God wants him to do? Or is he going to listen to his wife? Men, you and I face that all the time. And one of the things you have to understand, women, is there is a huge interdependent connect that God has created here that you underestimate. Let's just look at Adam. God took him around. God spent 6 days making something to impress this man. He spent most of a whole day walking Adam around and showing him all of it. God leaves for one day, and Adam throws it all away to do what his wife says. Do you know why God judged Adam? Why did God judge Adam? What's the first reason God judged Adam? What's the first reason God judged Adam? Because he ate the fruit, right? Wrong. Here's what God said to Adam. He says, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And men, there are times where to love our wife is to stand with God because she does not have the clarity on whatever it might be. And we know that. But, oh, we don't want the conflict. We are passive and we yield. And you know who God holds accountable for that? You. He holds you accountable for that. God says you must accept responsibility before God to lead your wife and family into that which is God's plans for them. That would relate to finances. You know, men, this is, again, it's your deal. It doesn't mean you have to do the checkbook. That doesn't mean you've got to take care of all the details. You know, whoever's better at that should probably do that. But men, this is your thing, to have a plan, to have a sense of direction, and again, to own this. A ton of your wife's security relates to, do you have your head in the game in terms of your family finances? And yet, if you don't, you know what happens? Your wife becomes fearful and she takes over because she's afraid you're going to blow it. And so she takes over and you back away because you're passive and you let her, and it's all not right. And she's insecure because she knows you don't have your head in the game and she's trying to manage it. And God's not going to grant her grace to do that. Not with you right there in the home. You've got to take responsibility for that. You've got to lead. That's what it says. That's what it's talking about. Children. Wow, here's another one. You know what it says in Malachi? That God's goal is to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Dads, God says your heart is to be with your kids. So often, moms can be really worried, really anxious, all wrought up because stuff's not going right with the kids. And dad, he is disconnected. Like, I don't want to be involved there. Those are your kids, dad. That's the role. You're the head. You are to be involved in that. It doesn't mean you do all the management, all that, but your wife knows, like Carol knows, that whatever I delegate to her, it's in my world. With those kids, especially, you know, boys, those are my sons. And my wife, in some ways, has been a way better parent than I have. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. But I have an ownership of what's going on with my kids. And it gives my wife a lot of security because she can just go, you know, John, I'm having trouble because Josh is just being disrespectful. Well, we're going to address that right now. Or I'm worried because the kids aren't getting their math right. Well, I'm going to figure something out. And she knows that although she does a lot of the work, there's an access that she has. Because I try to lead there. In your home, dads, have you stepped into that? Maybe in your growing up world, your mom ran everything. And your dad just sat behind the paper. You never even saw the guy's nose. God is calling you to be something different. You got to believe that, or you won't get the life you want. With your kids, home, passivity. So, great challenge for men today. Men, we're just trained to be passive. And I want you to know, I want you to believe that there's a role that you can play by faith. And that's where we're going to go here. To be a head for his wife the way God wants to calls a man will require yielding his own life. You're called to be like Christ. You're not called to get your own way. As a matter of fact, your job, you have only one job. Make sure God gets his way. That's your assignment, your mission, your assignment. You get to make the calls. If you and your wife differ about what you think God wants, then you get to say, honey, I got to make this call. I got to make this call. And your wife needs to go, honey, you need to make this call. Because you're the one that's going to give an account on that day. You are responsible to see that God gets his way. You get to do that. Men love to run things. You know what? You get to run the most important thing in the world, your home. That's what God says. But you have to lay down your life because it is not being autocratic. It's just taking responsibility. As a matter of fact, in areas of preference, you should yield to your wife. That's what Jesus would do. What color are you going to paint the bathroom? Well, ask your wife. That's not advocating leadership at all. That's being loving. But if it's a final analysis on where should the kids go to school, boy, you need to get your wife's input. You need to get your wife's counsel. You need to pray. You need to talk to other men. And then hopefully you guys will both see exactly the same. But if by chance you don't, you've got to pray and you've got to take the responsibility to make that decision on what you have a clear conscience about. It takes great faith. Think about David and Goliath. Running out there on the field. David ran out in the field. Goliath was huge. He knew that if God didn't come through and protect him, he was toast. And I just want to share with you, for us men, I mean, in my own life, you know, my wife, she is way more decisive than I am. Absolutely. In a lot of ways, my wife has a lot stronger personality than I do. And so that's one of the things that we work with. And she really makes a choice to trust my leadership. And I really make a choice to apply faith. And God allows that resonance to come into place. But you know what it takes? It takes faith. And I just have to go, God, I'm responding to you in faith. And then it takes great courage. And wives, you do not understand the challenges your husbands may face in actually saying they want to lead your life. As pretty and as sweet as you are, you can be the most intimidating individual. Just how God has made it. And he wants to be in harmony with you. He does not want conflict with you. Men will fight with almost anybody and strive with almost anybody, but most men will not strive with their wives. They just disconnect. Men, God calls you to courageous action. God's plan for wives is to express their femininity by receiving, accepting, and supporting the headship God's given their husbands. So how do you do that? To respond to that headship as God intends means to communicate respect. God, we've all heard the phrase, there's the sum of the parts, the whole is, how does the phrase we've all heard go? Sum of the parts is greater than the individual parts. Anyway, the whole, when you put it together, there's more there than just the parts. That's the way marriage is. God's created it so that men and women, when they respond together rightly in this marriage relationship, can empower and bring change and growth in a way that could never happen separately. We sense that. That's why we keep getting married. Women, there is a power that you can bring to your husband's life. There's that phrase, behind every great man stands a woman. I don't know, you know, who that was talking about, but boy, it's sure true in everybody I know. My wife and I sort of have this joke on recognizing pastors. You know, how do you know if the guy's going to be a good pastor? We just pick a man that's got a good wife. That's the real secret to the whole thing. That there is a thing that you can bring into your husband's life that nobody else can bring. And when you communicate respect for your husband, it empowers and encourages him to step into that role of responsibility. Most men feel so little confidence in that. We live in such a feminized culture. Do you guys know that? We live in a very feminized culture. You name a masculine man on television, I mean, they're just not there. A man that takes responsibility. Now, there's lots of women that take responsibility for men. How many pictures do you know of men taking responsibility, not exploiting, not using, not taking advantage of women? How many pictures do you know in our media today of men taking responsibility for women? Your husband has very few role models. And a lot of times you'll see him fail. And in a lot of places in the world, the best person does this. Well, whoever can run the fastest, he gets the ball. But it could be in your situation, your husband just is not all that experienced or patterned or locked in with leading. And you need to believe. You need to believe in him more than he believes in himself. Because you know what? He's your partner for the rest of your life. God called him into that to be a loving head for your family. That doesn't mean he was equipped for it. That doesn't mean he was trained for it. That doesn't mean his family upbringing programmed him for that. It doesn't mean any of that. He may have no qualifications. But God says, I called him to that. I will disciple him in that. And I will bless him in that. And there's times, if you can believe that more than he does, you will be the great change agent in his life. That means it takes faith on your part, because you can look at him and he can go, I don't know how to do this. And you can look at him and go, you don't know how to do this. And then the only thing you do is you can bring in the 30 person in the equation, which is what? But God said, we can do this. And God said, you can do this. Faith. You can't have faith in your husband sometimes. It would not be reasonable. But you can have faith in God. And wives, I know how hard and challenging it can be to believe in a man who's not faithful. But I also tell you that this life has challenges, and that where God wants you to go will require you to respect your husband. And to respect him more than he respects himself. Who believes in your husband more? Does he believe in himself more, or do you believe in him more? Do you believe in God? You know, God's going to bless your husband. He's a good man. There may be different areas he needs to grow in. There may be different areas he needs to get his head in the game. And husbands, if that's true, then you need to get your head in the game. But believe in your husbands. Respect him. 2, choose to be a helpmate. Next point. Complete what you can support. What you can support your husband to be. There are so many ways that my wife completes me. So many things that are different about my life. You know what? If you are a better organizer and administrator than your husband, then you're his gift to him. keep your home organized or your world directed. If you are, no matter what gifts you have, marriage shouldn't squash any of them. Every single one of them is needed. And to think that to take the role of a helpmate is somehow to become a non-thinking person is totally disconnected with what it means to be called by God to do that role. When I think of my wife, or I think of the Proverbs 31, one woman, which my wife I think is kind of like, and all the responsibility and all the initiative and all the decisions and all the skills it takes to run in what I ask my wife to run in, it's like she's got to be a superwoman to live in the world that's there for her to run in, to be a helpmate to me. All that you are, hopefully, your husband, you see a place where that can come and help you become a team with your husband so that you guys can serve God in whatever he wants to be together with your kids or whatever it might be. Then the last thing is focus on making a home. And this relates a little bit to the whole fulfillment notion. I don't know if it's quite as prominent, or maybe I just don't read the papers as much. But, of course, when I grew up, the huge thing was, women, if you're going to be fulfilled, you've got to go out and get a job out there. You can't stay home with your children, your husband. You got to go out and be someone's secretary so you can be happy and fulfilled. File papers, and you'll think better of yourself. And I just never could figure that out. And the Bible does say, moms, that the place God will really bless and use your life, among many, is in your home. And I just want to tell you, my whole world and the lives of my children's whole world is different because my wife's heart was in her home. A woman is the heart. If man is the head of a home, a woman is the heart of a home. And when a woman's heart is in her home, something comes about. She makes something. And that's why the Bible says that a woman is to have that be her place where she expresses herself. My kids, and I have told them this on numerous occasions, you guys are so fortunate. Your lives are so different because your mom made a home for you. And they did fun things together, and they did 4-H projects, and they did build things over here. And my wife made a home. And she's experiencing the riches of that now. And I just want to tell you, if you take your heart, all your gifts, all your skills, and you take them out in the world, somebody may really appreciate them and praise you for them and pay you $7 an hour for them. Or they may pay you $50,000 a year or $100,000 a year for them. But if you take them and you put them in your home, there will be an investment that will come out, if you have children, that you will reap the benefits of the rest of your life. And so for a woman, it's to communicate respect, it's to choose to be a helpmate, and it's to focus on making a home. So to do that, well, to become subject to her husband, as the Lord requires, will require yielding her own life. It is taking a role. It's saying, I'm going to run in this three-legged race. I'm going to let you tie my leg to your leg, and we're going to run together, even though I love to do something different. It's a call. And you know, that's what I tell people in pre-marriage counseling is, if you don't want to do this three-legged race, don't get married. This is a three-legged race. If you don't like this event, don't you get married. But I love it. And the reason we all get married is because we sense there's something there. And men and women, this is where you find it. It takes great faith. Oops, did I get them all there? Yeah, I don't know. Behind here. Yielding your own life. It takes yielding your own life to do that. It takes great faith. My wife and I's favorite analogy is that a wife is stuck riding on the back of a motorcycle. How many of you guys have ever ridden a motorcycle? How many of you have ever ridden on the back of a motorcycle? Now, how different is that? If you've done both, oh, I love riding motorcycles. I mean, I just feel so free, so comfortable. It is so relaxing for me. I get on the back of a motorcycle. It is panic city. Does he see that gravel? Does he see that car? Because I know one thing, and we're dead. It just freaks me out. Do you know what, wives? Isn't it true? Your whole life is riding on the back of the motorcycle. Is this guy going to get this? Is he going to do this right? What's going to happen to us? And your husband's going, what, what? And you live in a position that it is very natural and easy to just be fearful. God, 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 God. It takes great faith. Honestly, husbands, we need to realize that. You're sitting in the front. She's sitting in the back. And it's natural for her to wonder, does this guy see what's going on? That's why you've got to express, honey, I'll take care of this. I'm on it. Let's sit down and talk. Caroline, sit down and talk about once a week. Okay, what's going on? What's going on? And if I don't do that, I just sense there's this, because she thinks I don't know what's going on. And it takes great courage. Do you know what Sarah was commended for in Peter? There's a list of things, and then at the end it says, because she didn't give way to any fear. Women, that'll be your challenge, and God will call you. You have to come before the Lord and go, Lord, help me not be fearful. God, I'm fearful for my kids. I'm fearful for my life. I'm fearful about this. I'm fearful about that. And Sarah was called a great woman of faith because she did not give way to fear. You don't help your husband. You cannot help your husband with your fears. Or let me say this. That's not right. You can help your husband if you're honest with your fears. When you're not honest with your fears and you come and you try to direct and manipulate and control your husband because you're fearful, you know what he does? He goes, I can't deal with this. I'm out of here. Because he senses you are not, you're wrestling with him. You're trying to control him because you're fearful. You need to be honest. You need to go, honey, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for the kids. And when your wives are honest, men need to go, I hear you. I got it. But men, if they don't hear you say that, then they will start to try to control you. Because you're the answer. You're the answer. You can do something. And you won't do it on your own. So if they can control you and get you to do the right thing, then they're safe. Lots of women want to control their husbands because their husbands are the answer. But they're such a load. So if I could just control this big thing and make it do the right thing, I'd be safe. Do you ever sense your wives wanting to control you and manipulate you? It's maybe because they're fearful. I have to sit down to my wife and say, you know, honey, what's the real story here? What's the deal here? I'm learning that. You are fearful about something. You're driving me crazy. What's the deal? Well, this. Okay. I'm sorry. I just was not paying any attention to that. You're right. I've got to get involved there. Otherwise, she can't play that role. She's down here playing the role of being submissive, and I'm off goofing off. She's on the back of the motorcycle, and we're headed for the cliff. She's either got to jump off the motorcycle or grab the handlebars or something. And just one more.
There's a misprint on that. You're blank. And it says this, when we pursue these roles, we experience a partnership that can scratch out becomes, that's a misprint, empowers us to accomplish his work. Okay, let me just share something about sex. Since it's this morning, not last night. Sex is probably the most volatile dimension of a marriage. Huge expectations there, huge differences between men and women, and we live in a culture that is utterly, completely, totally, absolutely out of control, creating huge deceptions about what the whole thing is all about. Just absolutely giving us a whole set of wrong expectations. And I just can't imagine all the stress going on in people's marriages because of the influence of our culture. But I want to say this. Understand this. God is into a
great, rich, satisfying sex life. It's just like that's the culmination of the relationship. And there's two things that make good sex. One is the erotic. There is something that God has created, and it's more for men than for women, that is so desirable in a woman and in her body. God has made it that way. Do you know that they've discovered that when a man looks at a woman that he considers pretty or beautiful, the same chemicals fire off in the brain that come about through a cocaine addiction? Why is it that men like to watch girls? Why is it that every grocery store aisle is filled with magazines with women on the front of them? Because honestly, men, I hate to say it, we have all been made addicts to something God created. Television is filled with it because men get this chemical brain rush. And they go on all their internet sites and just check out that's why there's always a picture of some movie star at the AOL site. There's always women in there because they know, well, men will go there and read the news. That's why the women's underwear ads are always in Section A of the newspaper. You know what? Women don't read Section A of the newspaper. Generally speaking, they do not read Section A. Only men do. That's why the women's underwear ads are always in Section A. We are being manipulated. But it's true. There is something, and sometimes, you know, I know my wife, she just doesn't and never has gotten this. I mean, she had this little nightie she would wear, and she'd walk by, and I would just absolutely go crazy. It would drive me nuts. She did not understand how much I could desire her. And God wants it that way because, as weird as it may sound, because we've made sex such a weird thing, God wants a picture of huge desire from a man to a woman because that's a map over somehow of how he thinks of us. It's not a sex thing, but it's a love, it's a value, it's a desire. And the only way God could get us to get it right was to stamp it in and hardwire it in our hormones. And that's a picture of God's just obsession with us. He stamped it into the marriage. And that is genuinely a part of it. But I'm just telling you, that's like salt. And you put on too much salt and things get ruined really fast. And we live in a world that is telling us everywhere the erotic is the total measure of sexuality. That's why it doesn't matter who you have sex with. It doesn't matter who you have sex with. The point is just, what do they look like? Here's the real secret to a good sex life. It's these roles. Men, women, when your husband senses you respect him, you know what that does? That gives him a confidence to come to you, and it just makes you so attractive. Husbands, you know what happens? When you take responsibility for your wife, says, I'm going to care for you. I'm going to step on the horse. I'm going to be the knight in shining armor. I'm going to walk out this role. These things just lock us together. God has created it so that whether you're old or young, when we're in relationship like this, there's a chemistry that fires off. That draws people together and says, I love you. Ooh, not only do I love you, come sit over here. Another thing that does this is forgiveness and conflict resolution. And probably a lot of us have experienced that. But what is God saying? He's saying a sexual relationship is, it's like the thermometer. It's the measure. It's the meter on where this relationship was at. And when the relationship is good, there is a real desire to be together. And when the relationship is bad, there's not. So, our sex life's terrible. Maybe I should go buy some lingerie. You know what? Men, women, I'm just telling you. Be very careful. You can hurt your relationship with too much salt. beauty of your wife, once you get married, there is an inner beauty the Bible talks about that's unfading. You know what it says in Proverbs chapter 5? It says, let her breasts satisfy you always. That means when you guys are old, there can be a genuine, full experience of enjoying your physical relationship with one another. But you don't get there by running down the course of the world for 30 years before that. I'm telling you, be careful. Understand. Your wife is beautiful. Your husband is someone you desire to give yourself to. When these things are being pursued in faith, when your wife sees you striving to take responsibility for her, and something fires off and she goes, you know, he's really not a bad guy. You know what happens after that? I want to give myself to that man. Because he's really trying to care for me, and I know how hard that is. Wives, sometimes you might think, oh, your husband doesn't have an interest in you, and then I just ask you, are these things in place, and do you feel like you respect him? You might go, I don't respect him. Well, you know what? Nobody, unless it's, you know, you can have sex with a total stranger, but if you know the woman, if she doesn't respect you, you just don't want to be with her. Especially not in that way. You just don't. It's like, she thinks I'm a creep already. What's the point? I don't want this. Well, you go, but he is a creep. Well, maybe he is. That's why you got to work on stuff. That's why we're here. Because this can get so out of whack. And we think, well, wait a minute, especially for men. Well, this is just sex. This just works. Come on. But it doesn't. It's a function of your relationship. And so... I could tell you right now where your marriage is at for, you know, almost every circumstance. There can be a few other things by just saying, where is your sex life at? Hey, we are really enjoying our relationship with one another. Well, you know, then generally, you're probably doing pretty good in most areas. Oh, boy, I think we got a great marriage, but boy, our physical relationship, it's just nowhere. Well, what's the deal? Do you like going to romantic movies? Do you like, do you enjoy that thing that can happen between a man and a woman? Do you read books, watch TV? Do you know that go, oh, that's just so cool? Well, then it will happen in your own relationship too. Where's that? Well, we're just two people living together. Well, you're not just two people living together. You're a husband and a wife. You're a man and you're a woman. And we live in an androgynous culture. There are men and there are women. God made it so. And when you relate to one another as God has called that to be, the physical relationship is almost always really there. So that's the payoff. You pursue these things. Men, you become a woman that your wife respects, not because you're doing it perfect, because she just sees that the guy's in the game. He's really striving. He has got his head in the game. I'm telling you what, if your wife doesn't want to come sit by you, you come talk to me, I'll give you $10. That'll happen. One more thing. I have never known an adulterous relationship where a man was taking responsibility for his wife. Never known that in all the situations I've known of. Every time a man is actually feeling a sense of responsibility for his wife and his family, I just don't think he'll ever be unfaithful. If he doesn't feel responsibility, watch out. Don't let him take a business trip. Wives, if you're not saying, you are my head, I need you. Wives, where does your husband know that you need his strength? Is there anywhere where he would say, my wife needs my strength? A man was created to bring his strength. If there's nowhere in your life you need his strength, then he can't be a man there. It's just had this conversation with my wife. And I even told her that. I said, honey, I need to know that I, as a man, bring my strength to this relationship, and that it's something that you need in your life. That's who I am. Women, it is not weak to be dependent on your husband. God made it to be so. And if you don't leave a place where he can bring his strength as a man, then a bunch of stuff goes wrong. And men, you need to be really careful. You need to be really careful with pornography. You need to be really careful with other things. You have got to be a man and get rid of those things. Those have nothing to do with manhood, and we all know it. We all know it. That is not manhood. A man has control of his passions. And when our passions control us, that's not manhood, that's boyhood. And we live in a world of little boys. That's not a man. It's this whole dynamic. I'm telling you, masculinity and femininity, you get these right and lots of things fall in place. You get these wrong and things break everywhere. You're a man and you're a woman. And you commit yourself to walk in that road. You spend a lifetime pursuing that. And I tell you, when you're old and after you get done sitting on the porch swing, your wife's breasts will satisfy you always. Lord Jesus, I just think about how much our world, we don't even understand a lot of this stuff. It's just a whole other world than we get to see anywhere that most of us have modeled for us. But I praise you, Lord Jesus, for just how I've seen it work and bring life into my own marriage. I wouldn't say that Carol and I have a natural bent toward this. But, Lord, we have walked in it to a significant degree. And all the good things in our life, all the good things in our marriage, tie one way or another back to this and really humility and conflict resolution. And I just pray for every couple here. Help them, Lord Jesus, to believe. They can be a man as a husband. They can be a woman as a wife. Help it be a faith thing. Help them to hear that call from you. It's not a response to their spouse. It's a response to you. You're the one that called for it. You're the one that called for it. And help us, Lord. I know that we meet you here. This is where we meet you. And I just pray we would all meet you in this place and walk with you down this road. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a little over here. And you have how long scheduled for questions and answers? Yeah. Till noon. And there's a video and then questions.
So what they could do is take a break, do this, and be in their room by 10:30.
Be in their room. Okay, here's the instructions. We're going to do our next project. And you're going to do this and then be in your room by 10:30. That gives you 22 minutes to be there. And also, there'll be a question and answer time, and there's probably things to write questions down on, right? Is that right? Do you have paper, or is it just to raise their hand? Oh, we will have to be men. Okay. Okay, great. So you have 20-some minutes. Fill out project number 2, and then be in your room in 10:30.
Women will be here. Men up right above us in the Flagstaff room.
Right above for men, 10:30, for video.
I need two or three strong guys to lift Jeremy's spare TV here, take a video upstairs to the Flagstaff room, get that set up for the video, so I get a few guys to grab that and pull it up. So women back here at 10:30, go ahead and do your project, do that individually, and then you need to pray with your wife at the end here. So do it individually, get back together and pray, and then come back in our room here, okay? So straight up and... Yeah, Jeremy?
I'll go get a cart for him.
All right, let's get to it here.